This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
Welcome to this week's Radio Free Cybertron, episode 391, 11/5/2014. I am not your host, Brian Kilby, and I apologize because Brian Kilby is actually feeling under the weather, so we're going to fill in for him.
It takes three of us to make one Brian Kilby. That's how awesome Brian is.
Yes. As I said before, Brian is not replaceable, so don't worry. This is only a temporary solution.
solution.
I can do a 1999 era Brian Kilby impersonation if that helps.
that actually might help.
You are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Actually, that sounds like Don. Never mind, it's a horrible impersonation. you're listening to Don in the morning.
Rob only has one southern voice, and it's Don's.
And I'm from the south. What is going on?
This week on the show, we have news, possibly a Q&A with Rob Springer. This week in history, of a listener email which ties into last week's show, and an interview with the Audio Nights Theater crew, if they can get the computer working.
Maybe.
So, let's go ahead and jump to this week in history. This week in history, in 1950, Marky Post, voice of June Darby, is born.
From Transformers Prime. She was also on Night Court, and also she was in the lead role of an Electra Woman and Dino Girl potential reboot in the early 2000s.
And she's had three jobs to date.
Wow. That's awesome, Don, because I actually had to think who she was. I had no idea. But yeah, Prime.
Star of several Lifetime original productions.
We knew if someone was going to know the Prime human characters, it was going to be Don.
And of course her famous line when Prime wasn't there, "Oh, and I wore heels and everything."
Well, Prime is a fatherly figure, so you know.
Yeah,
it's creepy actually.
Yeah. But she was very funny, and if those that remember Night Court, she was hilarious in Night Court. She really has some great comedy. She's very talented in comedy.
Don, there's remember probably about three people watching this podcast that know what Night Court is.
Remember that episode of Night Court, Don? Because, you know, she was, like, real straight-laced, and she was spying on Harry at the bar, and she ordered an iced tea, and they brought her a Long Island iced tea, and she got plastered.
Yeah.
So this one actually surprises me that it was in 2000, because it seems like such a long time ago. The Transformers, the movie, Special Collector's Edition is released on VHS and DVD alongside the VHS tapes of the original Transformers volumes 10 through 12, which were both individually and in a three-pack in the U.S. by Rhino Entertainment.
Back when Rhino had a license, yeah.
Now, I was surprised the movie was that long ago, because I remember buying that at Walmart the day it came out, and I was super excited to get it.
Yeah.
And then I realized it was a little oversaturated, and I was like, really isn't the movie that I wanted.
But what wasn't oversaturated really did look good, so there was a lot of attention put into that DVD. It's just some of the colors were oversaturated, but it was still a very nice DVD set.
And that was in 2000, so it's now, you know, 14 years later. Can someone re-release that on Blu-ray, please?
It could use a good re-release, because what was the last time? 2006?
Yeah. Wow.
Which was weird.
Now, probably you'd have to ask someone like Fort Max to get the specifications, because he knows all about that stuff from superhero, Fort Max from superhero time. But he would probably tell you if it could even be done properly or not, based on the footage they used and everything.
I did see a Blu-ray that was that you can go on Amazon and like Google search it, but they want like $600 or $700 for it, and I think it's a European release.
I'm sure they could just release it on Blu-ray at standard definition and just be like, look, this is as good as it's getting, you know?
Yeah.
But it would be nice to get the I can't remember if the bonus footage that was the Japanese footage where it had Magnus and the Diaclone colors and everything. It'd be nice to get all that little peripheral footage too that we didn't get originally.
I think it'd just be nice to get it re-released again, because it's really sporadic and limited every time it happens.
Well, you never know. With next year being a non-movie year, you know, we might see something.
And well, it's Shout Factory. So. You know, Shout Factory's really, they keep putting out little editions like Best of Autobots and like a couple episodes and stuff like that. It wouldn't really put it past them to put the movie out at some point, just like, okay.
Because they just had that Best of the Dinobots DVD come out right before the movie.
Yeah, it was like $5. I got it. I already have the episodes.
And speaking of old episodes, 1985, the Transformers episode Child's Play premieres in the U.S.
Not one of my favorites, but it does lead into one of my favorite episodes.
The Gambler.
The Gambler. That's probably one of my top five episodes from season two, if not top 10, top five. And Child's Play, the one thing about Child's Play that I remember is saying, like, you keep thinking the Autobots are these super tall, super powerful, they're one of the life forms. No, they're not. They're not the end all and be all. They can be outclassed by other organic beings as well, just a matter of scale. And why are you polluting the RFC podcast with Star Wars stuff?
Distracting you and my Boba Fett.
Because it doesn't it's not a Star Wars Transformer, so it doesn't fit.
It's my white cheddar Boba Fett.
It's a Hasbro property. We love Hasbro properties.
No, yes, we do. Of course we do. I'm just mad I can't find one myself.
And jumping into the news, there is actually another Transformers property. Or I guess this would be a licensing thing. Angry Birds Transformers is now actually out for something other than iOS. It's now out for Android.
And it's a fun game. So get on it.
And I saw the toys at Toys R Us today when I popped in to see if they had anything new.
Oh, wow. Angry Birds toys are out already?
Yeah, little bitty Transformers. Like box. Yeah, exactly. I guess like non spring-loaded bot shots.
Well, there's a spring-loaded transformation in them. They just don't flip. It's like they pop the automorph.
Oh.
I got a Bludgeon and who's that? Sentinel Prime in a two-pack. They're extremely basic, but you know they are what they are. They're inexpensive little cash-in toys. They actually have a you can unlock the characters if you don't already have them with when you buy the toys, and it's pretty nifty how it works. It comes with this little it's a clear matrix of leadership. It's actually a magnifying glass. You put it over the front-facing camera on your phone or your tablet, and then you put the figure on top of it, and it's got a very microscopic QR code, and it connects to the internet and unlocks the character for you.
I'm hoping that I wonder if the Angry Birds them do. See, I've never played Angry Birds, never had any desire to. But I'm just wondering if this whole QR thing that they're using is a test run for when Robots in Disguise comes out with that same QR code built into the Autobot symbols.
They were using it for the Angry Birds Star Wars ones, so I think that's something they've been kind of working in.
Yeah, so I think it's just another, you know, they want to try and tie the electronics in with the toys, since most kids are playing with an iPad now or playing with, you know, an Android tablet. So it only makes sense for Hasbro to try and link that together to be like, here, still buy these toys because it's going to make your gameplay a lot better.
Yeah, and also they talked about having the cross-connecting across media platforms not long ago, so they want to and want to interconnect all this stuff as much as possible.
Well, yeah. Skylanders and Disney Infinity are pretty much taking all the toy lines under. So.
All right.
There's the guy.
There's, hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear us?
Hey, yeah, the duct tape worked.
All right.
The duct tape worked.
All right. So, I guess we can shut this down now.
Okay, so we'll go right to the interview now. That way we don't, and then we'll go back to the news. And Brian's gonna want to kill us.
How's everybody doing?
Is that the bell? All
right, so why don't you?
yeah, that's what I'm screaming.
That's what I'm screaming. Ask that question one more time.
I know you guys are the Audio Nights theater crew, but why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us about the Audio Nights.
Awesome. Well, I'm Dave, Ninja Dave. I've got Woo-hoo. Pete. I've got Andrew Schatz. Hey, everybody. We make up the conclave of the Audio Nights theater.
Ooh, I like that word, conclave. It's very...
That's right. If it sounds menacing, that's because it is.
Yeah, it sounds very
That's dangerous, yo. I like it.
So, and what is the Audio Nights Theater?
We are a group of voice actors who are doing audio drama for the currently the Eye series. We put voices, we do sound effects, and music to give an immersive experience for the readers.
It kind of harkens back to back in the. Early and mid-80s when you used to see those old 45s in the read-along books.
Yes.
You play it on your radio or on your phonograph and you'd be like, you'll know it's time to turn the page when you hear the chimes ring like this. You know?
I can't it's kind of like that. What you're talking about, but I did. I had those.
I'm sorry. I'm old. What can I say?
I had them.
Yeah, basically we all love Transformers, and we all love, you know, working with audio, and we all have that dream of, you know, doing voiceovers, and this project combines all that. You know, we love the Transformers comic books and G1 and different aspects of it, and it's a great project because it combines everything into one.
Now, what's your favorite, you know, characters to do? Because I'm an Autobot fan, but I think if I had to be a voice, I would probably want to be a Decepticon because their voices are much, you know, darker and deeper. Like, what do you guys like to do, or what voices do you prefer?
Well, I think I it's interesting that you say you want to be a Decepticon. I think that cons are sound. I think that a lot of people who'd want to go into to do voice acting would want to do Decepticons because they're so inherently evil and you want to really exaggerate what... And I think the challenge comes in doing characters that are... Yeah, it's been in my face just like that. Come on, man. I was talking. Oh. All right. I think the challenge comes in doing Autobot characters that are inherently good, but you still have to lend a certain amount of acting to, and still make them not sound like you, but not make them sound put on and exaggerated. You know, like
yeah, because with more than means, yeah. I mean, most of the cast is Autobots. I mean, with the exclusion of spoiler alert, Megatron, who joined the ship, Lost Light, and also the DJD, who make a bit of a cameo in the series as well. I mean, we get our share of Decepticons, but it's mostly Autobots, and we really just have to just go with what we were given. And I say it's written wonderfully, it's drawn beautifully. It's a lot of inspiration for us.
Well, one thing that I don't read IDW, other than Regeneration 1, just because I fell out of enchantment with it right before All Hail Megatron, and I've not come back since. Just, you know, I just didn't want to deal with it. But one of the things that's gotten me wanting to get back into it was Chris McFeely's reading of Megatron and Ravage. I don't know whether y'all heard that or if he's part of your group or what, but I do want to go back
in. Yeah, we heard it and we recruited him.
So,
I like the All Hail Megatron was handled, but more than MCI, trust me, you definitely want to get on board with that. And now is a great time for you to do so because we released the first three issues, so you can actually just read more than MCI 1, 2, 3 and listen along with our stuff.
And those three issues are a comfort too. So
My big thing was I liked the way Furman was going with the whole Headmaster tech, the viewpoint with Sunstreaker and Hunter and all that, and then all of that kind of got tossed out, and it was like, I'm done. You know, that was me at the time. But
there are rumblings that they're going to be revisiting a lot of the Furman style stuff and with the rest of the IDW universe, but we'll just see what happens.
Cool.
Now,
I'll definitely be listening.
Yeah. Now, when a new when a new comic comes out, how soon do you guys get the recording up?
Well, that's we're working from the beginning of More Than Meets the Eye, so we are actually we're behind as far as that's concerned. What we've been doing though is putting out readings from current issues, just kind of give people a taste of what they can expect once we get there. But like I said, right now we're wrapping up issue 4. We're working on issue 5 as well. But we're trying to play catch up. We've gotten a really good process in place right now for getting all this stuff out. So you can expect to see more issues coming out a little faster. And we plan to get caught up hopefully in the next year or so.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we also didn't want to just start with the newest issue just because it was new and cool. You know, if we were going to do it, we want to make sure we did it from the very beginning and establish these characters from the very beginning so that eventually, I don't really know when, but eventually we will catch up to where IDW's at, and then it will become a time crunch to make sure we get stuff done when they get stuff done, you know?
And also, speaking of what Dave was saying with the we have dramatic readings. If you go look for the Audio Nights Theater on YouTube, we have one video we put up where, Nightbeat and Nautica on, I think, issue 31 or so, when they're going in this elevator shaft on the other Lost Light. Yeah, that was what we did, and it got pretty good response, so we want to do a whole lot more of those just to have like a little current scene, and then when we get to that issue, maybe those people can redo the characters in the issue. If not, we can recast them.
So is that the best place to find you guys and find your material, on Facebook, or is there somewhere else that the viewers can go?
Actually, the place now is the website.
It's right here on our shirts here. It's theaudionightstheater.com. So you gotta check it out there.
It's old English for awesome.
Yeah.
But you can find us in a variety of places. The main website links to everywhere. It links to pages on TF Radio. It links to stuff on Twitter. We're all over the place.
Well, now I have a request from a friend of mine who I sent him the Chris McFeely reading, and he was really impressed by it. And he mentioned this in just passing, but I thought it'd be really cool. If you ever look for something to do as a like a little side project, the old books on tape, the Transformer stories.
Right.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to hear those redone, but with the current voices, like Megatron saying, we'll drill to the Earth's core and destroy it, and our missiles, all those old.
If you can get us a link to that, we'll take a look at that. That sounds pretty cool.
Our missiles.
In fact, I think we got a winning idea.
Wow.
All right, so is there anything else you guys want to mention before we end?
Well, I think actually I would like to mention how our product works, because there's been when we've let people check it out, or we've told them about the website, And they're like, yeah, it just sounds like some voices and some sound effects. So I think a lot of people don't understand how our product should be used, like what you're supposed to do with it. The idea is that there's, first of all, there's no narration in it. So it won't make a lot of sense if you just listen to it by itself. The idea is that you actually have the actual IDW comic. You want to get it, whether you go on Comixology and download it, or whether you go to your comic store and buy it, or you have a subscription, or, you know, you get a copy of the comic. Then as you're looking at the comic, you listen to the audio while you're looking at it. Yeah. So that the sound effects and the voices and the music and all of that stuff is kind of visually synced up with the frame that you're looking at. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if in one frame somebody's messing with something and that's making noise, and the next frame it's not there, by the time your eyes drift to that next frame, that sound's not going to be there anymore, because now you're no longer seeing it on the page. Right. So in short, I guess the idea is to really enjoy our product, you should support IDW and buy the More Than Meets the Eye comics, or have them at your disposal when you enjoy the audio. The audio is a supplement to the actual comic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not really meant to stand on its own so much, but really bring out, you know, the writing and the artwork in the comics, and really makes you appreciate that in a new way.
Yeah. We challenge each of you to go out, and let's say, whether you have the physical book or you have access to Comixology to download the issues, you know, put your headphones in, grab your tablet, grab your books, and just listen to it and read through it. It's really a cool experience. I mean, you have to experience it to really get the full effect.
And there's nothing that tells you to turn the page. You just turn the page when there's no more dialogue. so that the audio itself isn't interrupted by a ring or whatever, you know, whatever noises.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, that's great that you have sound effects and everything, because that's, you know, it's more than just, you know, voice acting.
It's more than
It takes us probably, that's what takes the longest time, is getting all the sound effects and music worked out. Like in issue 3, I did this big montage where Cyclonus is telling Tailgate, I voiced Tailgate, by the way, and you know, it's a big montage where Cyclonus is giving the history of the war, you know, between the Autobots and the Decepticons. And just putting all that sound together, that took quite a while, but it came out really well. You know,
That's one of my favorite parts of that book.
I'm like the montage guy, you know, in the group. So I'll be doing some montages in issue 4, because there's two there. But what I wanted to say, really, with the fans, and, you know, we have a lot of crewditions, which are auditions. If you're reading the book, you know what crewditions are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the upcoming issues, we're going to need some more voices. There's always new characters. So, you know, if someone wants to audition, go to theaudionightstheater.com, you know, click on, you know, the little tab at the top that says crewditions, read through all the information there. It'll tell you everything you need to know to audition. And just from personal experience reviewing auditions, I would say, you know, pick your favorite character, really understage, put emotion into it. Blend up in the group. And even if we don't like what you're doing for that character, but we like your voice, there's one guy Starscream to us. We might let him be Starscream Proton time or something. Yeah. So
I mean, it's just a lot of fun. I mean, with the traction that Robert's books are getting, I mean, the stories are just so immersive and just so great. The character development, the artwork is just incredible. With all that, I mean, fans are clamoring for a way to get more involved, and how better to get involved than to actually do voices for some of these characters. So we invite everyone to come listen to our stuff, and then if you are so moved and so inspired to do a voice, and maybe we can get you in the book.
Awesome.
That sounds great.
You guys want to hear my Hugo Weaving Optimus? I mean, Megatron?
Yeah.
Yes, Rob. Let's hear it.
Yeah, let me move the microphone away, because you know my voice carries. Alright. Prime! Put your pants on! I do that.
You don't need it. You don't need it.
Say not in the face, not in the face.
Oh, hey, we're getting into the PG-13 territory already.
Prime!
He drools a lot.
he does drool a lot. He's
always like,
very convinced. Really, I appreciate it.
We all be glad we can understand him at all, that entire movie, you know? He's all like, oh, boy!
Any other questions?
I think that's it. I appreciate you guys coming on.
Thank you much.
Sure. We appreciate you having us. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. I've been watching your podcast for a while. Finally, I have a reason to be on.
Yeah. TFCon. Hopefully, you'll be at the next one too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And you guys are truly more than meets the ear.
Thank you so much.
And make sure you guys check them out at www.audionightstheater.com.
TheAudioNightsTheater.com.
There you go. Google it. It'll probably get you there.
All
right,
thank you. Thanks for having us on.
All right, see you guys.
Now's the part where we all stare at each other awkwardly.
All right, it's going to be a long show.
But, you know, that... You know,
I thought he was feeling bad before.
Oh, he's never going to let me host again.
He's just like, you know, at first I thought it was great that you came today, Shifra.
This will be just like when he was writing the... What was that game that just came out? After the Fall of Cybertron, or the War of Cybertron, or
Age of the Extinction of Cybertron.
Well, so I'll be screaming, "Thanks, Diecast! Thanks!"
Well, you know, it is jumping ahead one movie thing, but speaking one news article, but you know, if you're looking for a good segue, speaking of the Transformers movies,
yeah. Michael Bay says he will not be returning to direct Transformers 5, but we heard that for Transformers 4 too. So there is a possibility he just needs more money thrown at him.
You know, if I remember correctly, he didn't even want to do the first one.
I honestly don't think. Again, I could be wrong. This is just me thinking off the top of my head, but. Really, the man's not hurting for money. Really, after what he's been paid for the last four movies, I don't think it's a question of money. I think it's just if he doesn't do it, he just wants to do something else.
Right.
But I do think he does something that he enjoys, and he'd probably rather be directing Transformers 5 than sitting at home doing nothing, because it's not what he wants to do. He wants to be a director.
Well, I'm sure he's got a money, but he can go swimming in.
I'm betting he's still going to be a producer of some sort, still getting some money from it.
Yeah. Executive consultant? Maybe he might work as the explosions consultant.
Explosions expert.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably like Steven Spielberg's role. Hi, I'm executive producer. What does that mean? Y'all get to use my name.
Yeah, Animaniacs, Freakazoid.
Yeah, it works. It really works. How many people are like, man, did you see Michael Bay's Ninja Turtles? He didn't direct it, but we're all saying Michael Bay's Ninja Turtles. You know,
they want to see that movie. I don't hate myself that much.
I'm going to Redbox it. I mean, I want to see it. I'm not completely opposed to it. It's just one of those things like, this is a video one right here.
No, I wanted to see it too. I just never got to the movie theaters while it was actually there.
I think what happened was too many movies came out in a row when it came out. It's like, I'm not going to spend $100 this weekend at a movie theater.
Yeah, that was right around when Guardians of the Galaxy came out too, right? So
yeah,
and the town I live in only has one theater, and the matinees are $8.50. So I'm really
that
not.
That is so cheap.
So
let's go to see Boo at Dawn's house.
Yeah. So speaking of Age of Extinction, since we were talking about Transformers 4 and Michael Bay directing it, we're actually going to get a Stinger toy, which is going to be released by Takara Tomy in January.
But, woo-hoo! So everybody doesn't get too excited, it's just a repaint of the Rumble Frenzy Prime mold.
Rumble? What? I thought it was the photos made it look like it was a repaint of the Bumblebee movie, Age of Extinction.
With a new head.
Probably with a new head. It was a small photo, so I couldn't zoom in and see it.
Okay,
so.
All right. Well, see, I was going by that, too, and I thought with the face, the shape it was a Rumble Frenzy figure, but I found a bigger picture. I apologize. I found a bigger picture, and I see it's not the same toy, I don't believe.
Thing is, that's a much better mold. So I'm like, okay, yeah, great, good idea, that'll work.
Yeah, okay, I apologize. It's just the face skull made me think it was the Frenzy from the Rumble Frenzy from Prime and Armed Micron.
And like Rob said, that's a mold that everyone actually likes from that, you know, from the movie toys. So that's definitely a positive.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, me personally, any robot in the Red family is going to be pale in comparison to what has been found at retail. And that was a horrible segue, I know. I'm working with it. On what's been found at retail. RC and Chromia have been found in the United States at retail.
Yeah, this always confuses me a little bit because I haven't quite figured out how the distribution goes because, I mean, Big Bad Toy Store is apparent. You know, they pre-order these things, and I'm sure they want them as soon as possible. So sometimes Big Bad Toy Store gets them first. Sometimes a retail distributor like Target gets it first or Walmart, and I just can't figure out how that actually happens. You almost think Big Bad Toy Store would be the first one to get it because they probably put in the most orders for it. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Target and Walmart are putting in, you know, more orders for these, even though they're smaller quantities per store.
It's a great, or it could just be the fact is when it hits the ports, it just fans out from there. And if it's not a airlift item, say BBTS, you know, it's a ground shipment. It just may get to the other stores there on the West Coast first. And just distributed like that, who knows, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But sometimes Big Bad Toy Store gets the stuff like a month or two before any of the stores, and then sometimes it's the reverse.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I remember when I ordered the Wingblade Optimus Prime from Animated, I got it the day it was – Big Bad Toy Store sent me the purchase notice the day it was released in Japan, so they must have had theirs en route before the release date, and I got it the same day as a the purchase order for the same date as the folks in Japan. So, but I am, of course, looking forward to the RC and the Chromia. I've got Windblade. I haven't opened her yet. I may just wait until the other two ladies show up and just open them all at once.
Find RC in the store, like, before Big Bad Toy Store gets it. Will you skip happily to the register?
I will not only skip, I will frolic to the register. And I'm a 44-year-old man. No one wants to see me frolic.
You're going to stand there, go, huh? What? And just, like, snatch it off the peg, and then snatch it up. Next thing you got armful, and you're running. And you don't, no, and you just run out of store, and you're like, what just happened?
No, I have a slightly better grasp of reality than that. And not much, but...
Right. Not that. You come back for the cat.
So speaking of things showing up that a lot of people are anticipating, Masterpiece Bumblebee MP21 with Exosuit Spike now has some out-of-package photos. I believe it was someone on eBay that actually put this up, and they were saying it may be a pre production version? Because there's no box. At least not in the photo.
The way that figure is transformed in car mode, that's an awful lot of popped loose panels that I don't think an official photo would have.
I was worried about that, too. The popped loose panels, and as with every yellow, you know, toy, the yellows don't seem to match very well. It's not as bad as, say, Generations Bumblebee got recently, but it's not perfect.
So I think this was not final production model, but close to it.
Wouldn't it be, maybe it's the KO, and the KO got made before the official?
Because it's like Spaceballs. It's like Spaceballs. The movie is in homes before it's, the cassette's in homes before the movie is finished. But I'm hoping it looks good. I'm hoping it sells well. I'm sure it'll sell well. Everybody I know is wanting this. But like we mentioned on the original podcast when this was announced, I still think Hasbro's going to be, and Takara's going to be looking at this, because if they can do a figure in this size and it holds up well at a masterpiece level, you might see combiner limbs in this same size at some point. Maybe a pipe dream, I don't know. But I think it's something that they can probably consider if this toy holds up.
I think they could do combiners in this size because they're doing it with, third parties are doing it. So if third parties can do combiners that size, Hasbro can easily do a Devastator. We all know it's been talked about that they want to do a Masterpiece Devastator. And I think that thing would be amazing. You know, whether they release, one part at a time, hopefully they will, because otherwise it's going to be like $400 or $500 for a Masterpiece Devastator.
The only way they can do that on a gift set format would be if it was a web exclusive or a store exclusive, like Godfire Convoy or something along those lines. It has to be really,
I think the Transformers team would be all about it. I think the people that they answer me like, how much can we, all right, how do we make this work for $20 a head at Walmart?
I think that's
probably the biggest hang up.
Now this was my train of thought when I thought about this a while ago. Do you think the reason we've not seen a Combiner Wars Devastator is because there's something already in the works at Takara and they don't want to have two Devastators coming out relatively that close together?
I don't get Combiner Wars, deluxe / Voyager sized figure that goes in regular retail would affect the Masterpiece Devastator. That would probably, if we got it in the U.S., only be a Toys R Us exclusive.
I think it's probably safe to say there's some form of Devastator eventually going to come. I mean, the Generations is half nostalgia fueled. I mean, they're going to say Combiners. No, they're not. They're not going to skip over the one everyone instantly jumps to.
It's just
the one everyone can remember, even if they're not a Transformers fan.
Yeah, I mean, people are always like, "Yeah, Devastator." Before they're like, "Yeah, and that car one, and a jet one, and Octopus Prime."
I mean, I actually think Make Toys, they had it right when they did Devastator, because they actually did 3 2-packs. So you're one figure at a time, you're getting two at a time, put it in a pack. And why Make Toys didn't do that with Computron, because is Computron, or the, is that a Make Toys or a fans project?
No, that's Make Toys for Quantron.
That's Make Toys. I really think they're kind of hurting themselves that way, because then instead of having to pay $150 per set or $160 per set, now you're putting out $400 all at once, and I think that hurts.
I guess we're just going to have to wait and see as far as, but I'm hoping this bump. Bumblebee does hold up from a structural standpoint, just so we can get other mini-bots. I know a lot of folks are taking it to task, because it's so much for such a smaller figure, even adding in Spike. But if they're going to stick with the same scale, and these like other mini-bots come up, you know, they may be cheaper because they sell more of the previous unit. Like, you know, for example, you can do Windcharger and Tailgate. You can do Huffer and Pipes. You can do Bumblebee and Cliffjumper. Who are you going to repaint Cosmos into?
That's what I was just going to say. Can we get a Cosmos out of this?
Yeah, Cosmos, Pathfinder. Cosmos, Warpath, Power Glide. There's going to be some unique mini-bot molds that won't be as readily repaintable as, say, Swerving Years. So, you know, we might see the price drop on these molds that don't have anything added to it. I think we'll see a lot of repaints before. It's like, you know, we got three Dotson brothers before we got Wheeljack.
Yeah.
We might see Bumblebee, Gears, Cliffjumper, Swerve, and then we'll get a Warpath. Because all those will help pay for the one that can't be repainted as much.
And then jumping into third-party news, we have custom robot shows off renders for non-transforming Revitech-style Trax figure.
Yeah, I tell you,
it looks really nice.
Did y'all see the dealers that had the Sunstreaker and the Soundwave figures?
No, I didn't even see they had them there at TFCon.
Yeah, they were a little pricey. I want to say $79, but I may be wrong. Cool. But I mean, you know, as much as I love Trax, because he's one of my favorite characters, and Mike McConaughey is one of my favorite voice actors, so I might have to get one of the Trax just because it's Trax.
But it's non-transforming.
Yeah, that's the only. It's basically a Figuarts Transformer figure. Because Figuarts does all the Kamen Rider and Sentai stuff for Bandai. So, you know, but it looks great. I can't wait to see.
I think I got a couple of the official ones a couple years ago. What was it? Prime, Starscream, Megatron, and Rodimus?
Yeah, the Mega SFCs.
I thought they were like Reveltechs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they were Reveltechs. I forgot Reveltech had that license.
I think I paid like $20 each for them, and they stayed
on the price.
But so. I do want to see him in color first, because that would be. But I think he'll look pretty good.
I'm pretty interested in that Hound. Or the it was one of those that's prototyped at the show, wasn't it?
I didn't see that at all.
I thought
was that in the third party room?
Yeah, it was in the Detolf.
Oh yeah, that's right. You're right. It was the one in front.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that now because it was a great prototype like the Trax was.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, Hound's one of those that always catches my eyes for some reason.
Well, you know, he seemed like he was going to be the main human relation character in More Than Meets the Eye 1-3, and then all of a sudden it goes to Bumblebee.
Right.
He hangs around with Spike all the time, but you think it's going to be Hound.
He was just such a solid character, and the toy was such a disappointment when I was a child, so every time they make an updated version, I'm just all over. Despite having a couple of the G1 ones, it's just those little stubby arms, you know. And then all the updates, I snatch them up, you know?
Well, the Alternators version is not bad.
Oh, no, it's good. And the Classics version's good. I think my favorites is that... My favorite is that Legends one. Because it's... it almost feels like a good update of the original toy mold, just fixing those things I didn't like to begin with.
Yeah. And then speaking of more third-party stuff, we also have a new images of the SXS-R02 over... Is that overlocking figure ultimate homage.
What, is that a paragraph?
To G1 Blur. What's the last figure SXS did? Because I know they did the third party or the ninth party heads for the third party KFC Ultimania / Citizen Stack figure.
The last figure I remember is the continuously variable, their version of Gears, and they have a Swerve coming out as well from that same basic mold. That's the last one that I remember.
And that's the one that Big Bad Toy Store clearanced out for like $40.
Yeah. I watched a couple of reviews. Most of the reviews were fairly favorable on that Gears figure. There was some plastic quality issues as far as the thinness in some areas. But mostly they gave it a fairly good attempt at their first, I believe it was their first full figure. So hopefully, like, you know, Unique Toys don't have that progression from that first figure to this one.
Off the bat, it looks like a pretty good figure. It looks a little bulky for Blur.
Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's an IDW-ish Blur. Again, with me not reading the series, I don't know, but possible.
I mean, is there really that much of an interest for Blur?
Well, I've always got interest for Blur. Okay. So, a small 1% interest in the very small percentage. Rob likes it. They made it for me.
I wish he had come with a Target Master instead of the large, you know, silver gun of doom.
Yeah, but maybe it's the next edition or something, though.
Yeah, or they might even do an add-on kit or something later on that has it.
Right.
And then speaking of KTC / KFC,
Church's Chicken Toys.
Yeah, the Kentucky Fried Collector's Edition, somewhat masterpiece figures. We got a masterpiece style, not blaster, new pictures of final stage of the figure, which I actually think is what we saw at TFCon because he has the really nice red metallic paint.
Yeah, because oh my gosh, I am sorry. The one in the dealer's room had the regular red paint, but the final what I remember talking to the people at the table. The one in the booth has this metallic paint, which is the final
countdown.
That metallic paint is really nice.
Yeah, if anyone gets a chance to take a look at the pictures that was posted from TFCon, that red just is a really it's not a super shiny red, but it's a very deep,
very nice.
It's very nice, and as you can tell in the pictures at T-Formers. It scales really well with MP Soundwave. And he comes with two heads. One's a comic book head and one is a cartoon head.
It's almost kind of funny watching KFC put out higher quality toys, being that they've always been the discount guys for so long. Like, you know, the little inexpensive $20 tapes and all that. They're like, it's like when you go into an electronics store and you see a Craig brand TV for $400. You're like, nah, that's the cheap stuff.
Well, you know, I mentioned this before, Rob, but I think maybe, you know, every third party has a niche that they work well in. I think KFC works best when they are working with enough mass to move everything around.
Right. Well, the thing is,
you know, I think that's their best thing is having enough mass. Like Omanaki, you know, he's. Right. He's a very solid figure. Let me make sure I've got him centered here. He's very solid. It's an interesting transformation. And the quality is definitely there versus from what I've heard on some of the cassettes. Right. So I think this company just needed to upscale to a bigger mass size. to find what they did best.
I have my problems also with Citizen Stack, though. So I'm not sure that their big figure fixes a lot of the KFC problems, but this figure, from what I've seen being up close to it and the photos and the nice paint, this may be their best figure yet.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm really tempted to own this blaster just because it does look so good. And I've seen a transformation online of an earlier test shot, and the transformation has got a lot of really nice little twist to it that makes it very involved. It's not hard, but it's involved.
You know, I think also, jumping back to what we were just talking about, they might be, as a company, realized, hey, we've kind of used up that thing. We need to do something else. You know, I mean, a company doesn't just sit on its laurels if they want to be successful, you know?
Well, I mean, they are also making a tape player for the tapes that they've been putting out in the hundreds and hundreds of every single color you can imagine. So this isn't too far off from what, you know, they were doing originally. But it's not a bad price either. $140 for a masterpiece size, you know, Soundwave sized figure is, I mean, I think the value's there in this figure.
Well, and also in reality, they're going to use those molds till they're falling apart, and they're like, hey, our product's still sitting out there. Let's keep supporting it as well, slowly see if we can work out of it.
Yeah.
Plus, it also boils down to is how long do you want to wait for a masterpiece blaster from Takara?
You mean the Red Soundwave show exclusive, and that's going to be it?
Yeah, I thought I was the only one thinking that negatively.
No, I'm being realistic. We all love Blaster. I think we're it, because, you know, it's like the big buying public that thinks going to buy it apparently isn't there enough to make a original mold Blaster anymore. I mean, how many original mold Blasters have there been? Two? The original one, which was a repaint, and the Action Master. I think the Action Master is the only original mold Blaster toy, isn't it? What?
Do you want to count Twin Cast as three, possibly? You know, it's still Blaster.
It's still a repaint. It's a repaint of a repaint. You know, it's a Microman mold. So it's one of those things. It's like it's hard to say how they're looking at it. They're like, Soundwave was like, okay, everyone knows Sound Guy. You know, the guy with the kitty that comes out of his chest. The other guy. You know.
Yeah, it's the Autobot with tapes. That's
right. Yeah, the lesser of known of them.
Yeah, whose tapes didn't even get names in the very movie they appeared in.
They were just there shooting at the other guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things you have to try to remove yourself from it and think about it, like from the outside point. It's like, yeah, that's great. These guys really like this stuff. We're making money here. Is that going to work feasibly? And I think that's probably what's hitting it. Maybe while we're like, yeah, I'd love that. I loved it. They're probably like, we're not so sure, dudes.
I think they're definitely like, well, there is some repaint potential in this, so.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get a twin cast out of this, no problem.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe magically we might see an official new mold one down the way if this works out. Somehow, I don't know, they get the hint, you know.
So, and also on want to let everyone know, you can also check out some more news on tformers.com. They have Rescue Bot Season 3, Episodes 5 and 6 summaries, IDW Comics Transformers Spotlight Series, Omnibus coming in March 2015. Does anyone know about that series?
Which one now?
It's the Spotlight, but it's on...
Yeah, it's all the Spotlights, just collected in one edition.
Oh, that's okay.
Cool. Yeah.
I think during the All Hell Megatron time, I mainly really did just read the Spotlights at that point.
Yeah, that was me, yeah.
Yeah.
They also have a video review of Transformers Legends, LG-01, Rattle, a.k.a. Rat Trap, and LG-02, Beast Convoy, a.k.a. Optimus Primal.
Right.
New officially licensed Transformers Masterpiece sticker sets, which this is kind of... Out now you got officially licensed sticker sets for your Masterpiece figures that didn't come with stickers. So if you want the officially licensed stickers, you have to get them from, like, I believe Big Bad Toy Store is carrying them.
That's the most out of left field news of all, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, they talked about, you know, all this cross-brand promotion and all these licensing deals, so we knew a bunch of peripheral stuff was coming, but stickers? It's like, what?
I mean, I guess they say Repo Label's doing it, and they're making money off of it. At least if they can license it out to someone, they can make free money off it.
Well, how often are you literally in, I don't know, like an auto parts store, and you see officially licensed Ford logos or Chevy logos, and you're like, well, I have one. Doesn't it already have enough on it? But they have it there, you know? It's stuff you don't really think about, but there's obviously a market for it, and they like making money.
Yeah. Money. If they make money, that means we get plastic, you know, plastic toys, so.
Yeah. It's anything for the money? Yeah. Anything for the money.
And one other thing on T-Formers, that it's not in the notes, but I just wanted to mention, for all of you who are dying to get that gold Megatron, the last chance to get that MP, that last chance for that MP05 mold, there is a review up available online. So.
Well, we don't know that it's going to be the last chance to get that MP mold. They may reuse that a couple more times.
I'm hoping it'll be the last chance to get
but
that.
But it's a gold color.
The last chance for the next time.
Well, now, okay, the last time this happened with Prime and we got Sleep Mode Prime, we got MP10. This is a reissue of one of the earlier molds in a different color. I'm just saying, if history repeats itself, this could be the last time they use this mold, at least in the foreseeable future, and we may sooner or later get a new Megatron.
That's what a lot of people are saying. I don't want to believe it because I think part of me doesn't want to be disappointed, and part of me is saying, everyone that's saying that is looking way too much into it.
Well, it's just, I'm just saying the parallels are there. Whether they fall, it would be nice if history repeats itself, because I have that mold. It's been in gun mode for 4 years because I'm afraid to transform it back.
Mine's in robot mode, and I was afraid to transform it back. Did it come in robot mode, or did it come in gun mode?
It came in robot mode.
Okay. So I probably transformed it all of maybe two times. Once the gun and once back to robot.
I did it once. It's still in gun mode from the original transformation.
And mine does have the cosmic rust because it was one of the first batches.
Yeah. So, you know, here's, you know, I'm saying if you like that mold and want to get it and like the gold, there you go.
The thing is with that theory is there was a whole bunch of redecos of that convoy mold before we got MP10. So it's nice to dream.
Yeah. Well, just, I thought sleep mode was the last version.
For now. I mean, Takara will repaint a lot. So we can hope.
Yeah.
Okay, and we do
you gonna buy it, Don?
Pre-ordered? Don's gonna buy it.
No,
you gotta get that gold.
No,
well, he didn't even like the gold Prime, the MP10 year. The
because I have taste.
I like gold.
But I think the gold Prime was done a lot better than this gold Megatron. Well, at least it's not mold, gold chrome.
Yeah, well, the mold they chose has a lot of help with that too.
Yeah. So do you guys remember last week when we were talking about Transform Me and we were talking about the gentleman who who dressed up as Transformers and a girl went up and pressed the button and said, is this the button to have, you know,
sleep with
to
you.
Make loved with you?
Yeah, I vaguely remember that, yes.
But We did get a reply, and I want to read the reply to everyone. It says, "Hey guys, I've been a longtime fan listener listening to your podcast, and I want to thank you first for listening. I just listened to your podcast concerning TFCon Chicago, and you talked about the Transform Me movie. Well, I'm the guy that was in the movie that said that a girl walked up to me and asked which button do I press to make love. I need to clarify a few things. First, I don't cosplay. I build Transformer suits to enter contests in bars and clubs. That's where it happened. So, yeah, those environments, girls are mere materialistic bees and just want to be seen with the best costume and want to have things bought for them. And that's basically what happened, and not walking around randomly and having this happen. This actually happened, and it's no joke. So it happened at a bar, and apparently to be with the best-looking costume. The girls were very serious. If not, I would not have said it. Yes, it's a funny story, but it's true, and it happened a lot in those contests. Now I only build suits for fun, never for cosplaying. Just wanted to clarify things. Thanks, guys."
Oh, that's good, because you know, if that could be something that could be reflect badly on a lot of people, so that was the right thing to do, and I'm glad he sent that to us so we could make sure that was out there.
Well, I don't go to many bars. I mean, I've been to bars. I don't go to bars all the time. I've never been at a bar that had a costume contest and someone came in as a Transformer. Never had a costume contest, period.
What Bennigan's were you at?
He might live in, like, say, San Francisco, San Diego, where there's... Sort of like in Japan, the province of I can't pronounce it now. Akihabara in Japan is a very heavy fan culture, and so he could live in one of these cities that has these areas that are, you know, heavy fan, heavy geek, heavy culture like that. So, you know, again, we don't know for sure.
So what makes you a cosplayer? Because I thought that if you're dressing up in a costume and going to an event, that makes you a cosplayer.
Well, I mean, you know, there can be some serious prizes at these things. You don't have to do it. I mean, you could just be doing it for the contest and not any other reason.
It's probably also safe to say I think costumers and cosplayers are two different things. Like, don't cosplayers really kind of get into the whole "I'm this character" while they're dressed up in it, while costumers are like, "Look how awesome my costume is." And I'm probably totally wrong here, and someone will let me know. But I thought that was basically the distinction. Like, it's a bit of role play to it.
Well, you know, we don't know for sure, and we're just sort of speculating here, of course. But I mean, you know, that makes a kind of sense to me. You know, if you're entering, if you have the skills to make those things, and yeah, what you would win is more than you put into it, and it's something you enjoy doing. You know, you may not have any affinity for the character, but you can make a costume.
I think the funniest thing I saw a couple days ago was on Facebook, where two people were running up to every Batman at a like a Comic-Con and laying down and playing dead, and they have a little sign that says Wayne family, which was the best. I mean, because you can just imagine your whole day of running around, because there's like 7 million Batmans at a, Comic-Con. So you could fill up your whole day just doing that, running around and pretending you're dead.
But that's unique. I haven't gone to many anime conventions, but I would have to think that's probably it's third-party cosplay. Your cosplay is enhancing someone else's cosplay.
It's almost like photobombing, because you're just jumping in their display.
but it works. So that's...
it works. Yeah. So thank you for, you know, straightening out that letter.
I appreciate how it almost seemed like a very Jay-Z style answer too. Like, hey, first off, I was at the bar. All right.
Yeah. And they, those girls be materialistic bees. So.
Yeah, he was throwing hard. He was, like, not having any of our malarkey. Like, oh, first thing first, I'm the realist, okay?
I'm just wondering, if you're in a costume like that, how are you getting to your wallet to buy girls drinks? If girls are just trying to get some drinks bought, I go up to someone who's not wearing a costume and has access to their wallet.
Well, he could, you know, I go to bars all the time because I'm such a party animal. But I would have to guess, you know, if it could be a frequent, he could be frequent, he could have a tab. He wouldn't need to get to his wallet. He could have, you know.
I'm saying.
Maybe he's an advanced Optimus Prime and he just has, like, the Apple Pay. Well, he has Prime Pay. And he can just tap his wrist onto the...
But that would involve it working.
I'm telling you guys, he walked up into the Bennigan's that night. They were like, whoa, you guys see that? That's Voltron. And they just started like, I'm going to buy you a Smirnoff Ice, sir. And he was like...
And he's not Lion. Talking about Robin. Lions.
You did good. You donned it again, but
Brian, we're so sorry.
Yes,
we're never going to be allowed to do this again. So, Rob, do you have any Q&A?
We did not get any. I think that guy kind of might pass as our Q&A because he was like, "Let me ask you something. Do I look like someone who won't go to Bennigan's dressed up as Optimus?"
Actually,
do I look like a cosplayer? Well, yes, you're in a costume.
This just in from the chat, we do have a question from Andrew Bowman 36.
Awesome.
Dear Rob, how can I fit more stuff in my house and I don't want to toss all the boxes?
You don't want to toss the boxes. Let me break it down for you, Mr. Andrew Bowman. What you do is you go to Walmart. They make these big Rubbermaid tubs or like little coffins, like big old things. Buy a couple of those jokers. Then your packaging, you're not saving the bubbles. You're throwing those away. Are you saving the inserts and all that? You know, pump it down flat. Fill up a box. Ta-da!
The voice of wisdom.
It turns out storage containers are ideal for storing stuff. You can even put a label on them. You may be a Sharpie while you're at Walmart to have Sharpies.
I mean, too, if you're in an area, you can buy a shed. Throw them in
the shed. Yeah, those are rental units. You can get those. I mean, you want to get you a climate-controlled one, but they're... For something as small as... It's not like you're storing all your furniture in there. It's something like a toy collection. You could probably get one for like 50 a month to really store stuff in without taking up too much room. I know a lot of people do that.
Heck, I've got a lot of my stuff up here in a storage building, and I've got a lot of my parents' stuff that I'm keeping in a storage building down where the house was. I've got two storage buildings I'm paying on each month until I get enough of my stuff sold to bring up all their stuff.
I think George Carlin
can do it.
You have a house, just have somewhere to put your stuff.
Yeah, if we didn't need somewhere to put our stuff, most of us could live in, like, you know, a little one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, just, like, rent a room. Like the old days, right? Where are you staying at? I'm staying at Sadie Mae's old boarding house down the road. The curfew's at 9.
But, you know, but the one thing about the planet Earth, that's why we can't let it ever be blown up, because that's where we keep all of our stuff.
Don, are you going to the mixer tonight? I'm standing over Sadie Mae's boarding house. I'm coming out. Curfew be damned. I pay a good 5 pence a week. Don's acting amused. He was around when that happened.
Yeah,
it was 1974.
Diecast, on that note, is there anything else we need to cover?
No, I think that's it. I was waiting for a Rob comment when we can just be like, okay, and that's the show. Thanks for watching.
I would love to stay, guys, but old Sadie Mae is cooking fried chicken tonight at the boarding house.
Well, that's the show, guys. Thanks for watching.
Thank you. Thank you much, Brian. Hope you feel better. And everybody, we're sorry.
We're so sorry. I'm not sorry. You know what Brian's going to do, though? He's going to get so mad, he's going to totally re-record the show just imitating our voices. It's just going to be like a one-man show and, like, static pictures of us. He's going to be like, hey, this is Brian Kilby. Hey, this is Brian Kilby. You're watching RFC. This is Brian Kilby. The first, the oldest, you know, Transformers Internet podcast. You know, it's 99. To my left is Don. Say hi, Don. Hi, kids. This is Don Ferguson right here. And he's going to do the whole thing, and we're all going to sound exact. Brian, you need to record this episode.
So basically, it'll be Brian doing the star dub for us.
Like, we forgot to add the make sure you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, friend us on Tumblr.
Yeah, call us, beep us if you ever need us.
Don, they don't make beepers anymore, man.
Email us at tfradio.net. If you have any questions, comments,
please.
Concerns,
and or complaints,
like us on Facebook, listen to us on Stitcher,
leave us iTunes reviews.
You go to YouTube. We're there.
Yeah, YouTube.
And you know, let's start doing this on Vine. It'll take you a whole week to watch an episode, but
well, that's just fine by me.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.